song wholeheartedly, I'd rather have Jesus. There's a lot of pain and sorrow in this world. So many suffer from broken hearts, and a lot of people, just to be honest with you, have bitterness in their heart. But aren't you glad that there's something greater than the sorrow of this life or the trouble of each fleeting moment? And it's the grace of God and the love of God in Christ. There's a world that's looking for something. In church, this song that we sang needs to be carried out into the hills and the valleys of our country. And sung, we'd rather have Jesus. There are a lot of things that are good in this life and a lot of blessings that God gives. But I've never found anyone or anything that can do for me what the Lord has done. To love somebody like me, even me, with all my failures and my faults, He still loves me anyway. Now, I'm going to preach in a minute, but I just want to thank the Lord that He loves me even when I don't feel like I can love myself. In a day and a time and in a world that is so cold and so dark, there's still a light that shines. It is the love of God in Christ. And oh, how it shines in the hearts of God's sweet people. I want you to know I consider it a great honor and a privilege to be in the house of God. I'm not here because it's my responsibility. I'm not here because it's my duty. I'm here because there's nowhere else I would rather be than in the house of God with you this morning. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn with us to the book of Genesis, all the way back in the book of Genesis to the 22nd verse of the 32nd chapter. So Genesis 32 and 22, if you'll give me a moment while you turn there, there are some things that we need to mention following up to this. This is where the great crossroads of Jacob's life happens. Maybe you're here this morning and you're at a crossroad in your life. Jacob had done something in his earlier days that had really brought condemnation upon him. He was living with guilt. He was living with regret. And this message is for anybody here this morning that's carrying around guilt and regret. And I believe if we're honest, we all have regrets that we carry around. And I imagine from time to time we all feel guilty about something or another. But the guilt that Jacob felt was to the point that where anytime something bad happened in his life, he felt like that he deserved for that negative thing to happen. And now Jacob, at a younger age, he's went off to another country. And let me tell you about how he left his family. Jacob had supplanted that of his brother Esau, had fooled Esau and fooled his father into giving him the birthright. And let me say this about Esau. Esau was a carnal, sinful man. He was a man that cared more about a bowl of soup than his heritage and his birthright. And before we judge him too quickly, let's realize this. There have been a lot of men and women that have sold their birthright for one night of pleasure with somebody else. Been a lot of men and women that have sold their birthright for something and for something that only lasted for a season. Here Jacob is. He knows what he's done. He's moved off into a foreign land and he's working for the man that would be his father-in-law. And his father-in-law tricks him. And he ends up marrying Leah, the father-in-law's daughter. And he really wanted to marry Rachel. And then later on he works more and he's able to marry Rachel. And now he's on his way and he begins to leave his father-in-law Laban's land. And all along there's this thought in his heart There's this nagging thought in his mind of what he had done. There's the guilt from knowing what happened with his family. I want to say this to you this morning. There are things and scars that happen in our family that are hard to overcome. And maybe you're here this morning and you say to yourself, I cannot forgive this one or that one for what they have done. I want to assure you that forgiveness is not only possible, it is necessary. And the only one that you hurt when you don't accept and find forgiveness is yourself. And so many people are negative. They're carrying around things that happened many, many years ago, and they're carrying them around, and all they do is find themselves hindered from serving God. This morning, if you're here and you're carrying around some of that baggage, oh, to God this morning, we sang the song, He set me free. Jesus said, He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I am free from the baggage of my failures. I'm free from what happened and what I've done. I've been forgiven by the blood of the Lamb of God. And so have you. Brothers and sisters, here Jacob is. He's making his way with his family. And he lights upon this place and sets camp. And he goes to sleep. He lays his head upon a rock. What he doesn't realize is that rock came from an altar that his grandfather had built years and years ago. Is there anybody glad that God has laid some foundations in your life? Is there anybody glad for a mama and daddy that love the Lord? Or a grandpa and a grandma that love the Lord? Or somebody in your life that helped you find a good foundation? And so he lays his head down on that rock. Boy, I tell you what, have you ever said that pillow I slept on like sleeping on a rock? Well, he's really sleeping on a rock. That night he began to have a dream. And in that dream, there was a ladder that went up into the heavens. There were angels on that ladder that were ascending and descending. The cries of man would go up to God, and the answers and the blessings of God would come down to man. And Jacob saw that ladder. Now, Jacob is not a true believer yet. He's had a little experience with God, but he's not a true believer because he makes a pact with God. He makes a deal with God. He makes an oath with God. He says, now God, if you'll take and make sure that I stay in your way, if you make sure that I'm able to follow your path, if you'll lead me to my brother and feed me and keep shelter over me, I'll make my way back to my father's home and I will make things right. Let me say this. It's hard to be right with God when you're not right with the people that are around you. There are a lot of people that want to put on an air like they're all this and they're all that with God whenever their family is broken. Leave your gift at the altar. Go and reconcile your brother and then you can be right with God. Oh, you say, no. No, I can be all right with God and I can hold angst against someone else. According to Scripture, you cannot. So I can be all right with God. It's just between me and the Lord. If I don't forgive somebody or if I hold on to my path, let me tell you this. Hey, all it'll ever do is hinder you. All it'll ever do is keep you from reaching the potential that God has for your life. And so Jacob begins to make his way back to meet his brother. This is where we pick it up in verse 22. And he rose up and he took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford of Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over all that he had. You know what? Jacob realizes this. It's not worth my dispute with my brother to come in between me and my family. Have you ever said, I just don't want it to come into the family? I tell you, there've been a lot of nights that I've prayed and said, God, please don't let this come into the church because you know that it has the potential to be a great hindrance and to divide and to separate and to hurt. And Jacob says, you know what? My fault is between me and my brother Esau. I'm going to send my family across the river so that they're safe. Let me say this. There are a lot of people. We're like the Hatfield and the McCoys. We hold hold on to stuff that happened in our father's life and in our grandfather's life. Let me say this, a dispute my daddy had or my mother had don't have anything to do with me. There are a lot of people that have pulled themselves away from the house of God because of something that happened with somebody else. It's not worth destroying your family over. I'll say this about Jacob. I respect him because he was looking out for his family. He said, this is between me and my brother Esau. Whatever happens, it's going to happen. But my family, I will protect. Y'all go on across the river. This is between me and Esau. The Bible said they got over across the river and Jacob was left alone. Have you ever felt alone in life? Have you ever felt isolated and like, listen, and my prayer for you this morning is if you've got these issues in your life, you feel like it's you alone that God is speaking to. I hope this morning God has got you on the other end of the line and your heart is saying, I know this is for me. This is something I need to hear. This is something I need to receive. This is something I need to do. Jacob was left alone and there he wrestled with a man. Oh God, what are you wrestling with this morning? How long are you going to wrestle with your issue? How long are you going to wrestle with what happened to you? How long are you going to wrestle with your guilt? How long are you going to wrestle with something that you cannot change? There are people that are full of guilt. There are people that are full of woundedness and brokenness because all they do is wrestle over and over again that thing that happened. And I don't know what that thing is that happened in your life, but God wants you to have some peace. God help. When it's in your family, that's when it hurts the worst. Oh, when it's with the people that you love, your heart's broken, you got all these feelings, you don't know how to process the pain and it hurts. And every time you think you get over and it gets a little better, and then something happens and triggers and it reminds you of that thing that you've wrestled with, that thing you can't find peace from. And all this morning, children, God wants to give you peace. It's time to allow God to give you some peace and take away your guilt from what has happened in your past. And I say this with tears of brokenness because in my heart, I can feel your pain. And I may not have walked in the shoes that you walked in, and I may not have the same experiences that you had, but oh, I can feel your hurt. And I'm trying to keep it together. I know I am, but I know some of my dear friends are hurting over things that have happened years and years ago, and you've wrestled with it and wrestled. And this morning, God wants to help you. The Bible said there he wrestled with a man. He knows that on the morrow, that is to say the next day, he's going to meet Jacob, he's going to meet Esau, his brother. He said, I can't just meet Esau in my own strength. I got to have some help. Yeah. There he begins to wrestle with a man unto the breaking of the day. Let me tell you, he's wrestling for more than himself. It's not just about himself. It's not about his physical welfare. It's about his heritage and his children. And some of you, you're wrestling over things that are going to affect your generations to come. He's wrestling with a man. Oh my, how often I wrestle with a man. I wrestle with this carnal man. I wrestle with myself. Does anybody have a wrestling match with themselves? One thing about wrestling with yourself, There's never a winner and there's never a loser. It just continues to go on. Some of y'all figured that out. But he realizes the one that he's wrestling with, the one that has brought this confrontation, it's not the fear of Jacob or fear of Esau and meeting Esau. It's not what has happened. But it is God who has brought it to the forefront. And I want to remind you this morning, you're not wrestling just against your past. You're wrestling with a God who wants to forgive you of your past. You're wrestling with a God that wants to bring you peace. Let me tell you what Jacob does. They're wrestling around. The Bible said into the break of day, Jacob is not going to give up. He knows that tomorrow or when the sun rises, he's got to have God's help. And he says, I will not let you go except you bless me. And all that grandmothers and grandfathers and mamas and daddies would get in the altar and wrestle God for the salvation of their children and say, God, I will not let you go until something changes. There have been some of us that have been wrestling, we've been praying, and we've been agreeing on some same thing. I'm not ready to give up on God. I will not let go until the Lord saves them. There has to be some determination in your spirit. There's a determination in your heart that I will not turn loose of this one that I'm wrestling with until He blesses me. You know what? The man that he wrestled with, Don, he touched the hollow of his thigh. You know what that signifies? Remember whenever Abraham made a sworn oath to God and swore an oath to Melchizedek and he touched the hollow of his thigh? You know what that signifies? That signifies that I'm wrestling, that the blessing that I want is not just for me, but it's for my generation. It's for my family that's coming after me. It's for my grandsons. It's for my granddaughters. And I'll tell you this, and I'll make you this promise, sweetheart, that your daddy will continue to fight and wrestle until your children are saved. And not just hers, but your grandchildren. Not just your grandchildren, but some of your children. Does anybody want you to get in the altar with a little old preacher and let's wrestle a little while? We've gotten so dignified that we don't know what it's like to lay down upon the ground and cry out unto a thrice holy God for help. We've gotten so dignified that we throw up a little old prayer that has no feeling, no emotion, no passion in it and say, oh, God heard my prayer. I'm going to tell you, when you wrestle with the Lord and He gets a hold of you and He blesses you, you'll know it. I've sat around for 3 months. Dried out. I've sat around for 3 months. You know, I go through the hills and the valleys like everybody else. I've sat around for 3 months, half dried out, and somehow, some way, over the last 2 or 3 days, God has sprung up the well again. Thank God. And I'm not ashamed to preach this gospel. There's some of us in the house of God. Your well's been dry for a long time. It's not that it's dry. You've got dirt and muck down in the bottom of the well. Dig it out and let the water roll again. Jacob said, I will not turn loose of you until you bless me. How many of you would like to pray and talk to the Lord and not turn loose until you know that He heard you? Jacob was touched in the hollow of his thigh. And from that point on, he never walked the same again. God did a work in his life. We don't want to close until we get to the end of the story. Now he's a man that's been touched by God. Now he's a man that's been blessed by God. Anybody been blessed by God in the house? Oh, you know what? We all be ashamed. my goodness, God blesses us and we sat back and shut up and we have a chance to worship during our worship service. And Leanne sings a song, I'd rather have Jesus, and everybody's eyes dry. Would you rather have Jesus? We say we love the Lord. And I believe you do, and I know that I do, but every now and again, He needs to hear it. Now He's blessed. He's hobbling a little bit. He's walking a little different. Everybody says, there goes Jacob. He wrestled with the Lord. Let me say this. I've never wrestled with the Lord and won. But he did win in a sense. You know why? Because he was blessed. God gave him something to go to Esau with. While God was wrestling with Jacob, God was over there with Esau saying, now look, your brother, you still love him. You can still find it in your heart to forgive him. While God was working on Jacob, God was working on Esau. I want you to know that while God is working on you, the one on the other side of the matter, God is working with him also. They go out. I just see this in my mind's eye. And go out and maybe there's a great vast field of grass in between them. Jacob looks out and he sees that hairy brother. I'm a hairy brother. Stevie, you are too. I don't know where that come from. Lord. Off in the distance he sees that red hair. Don't go there, right? He said, there he is. And his heart starts to pound quicker. You know why? Because there's going to be that moment of confrontation. How many of you know every now and then when the pink elephant's in the room right before you confront it, your heart's pan out of your chest. You don't know how the other person's going to react. You don't know what's going to happen. Let me say this. When there are divisions in relationships and fissures in relationships, the hardest part, we don't know how the other person is going to receive us. But we've got to be willing to trust God that He's working on the other end and do our part. And I can see Jacob, he's barely walking along. He said, there he is. Oh God, I know you've blessed me, but I don't know how this is going to turn out. And Esau looks across and says, there's my brother Jacob. You reckon he thought in his mind, there's the one that stole the birthright. I'm going to tell you, I don't. I think God had done a work in the heart of Esau. And he says, there's my little brother. Jacob says, there's my big brother. And as they get a little closer to each other, they break out into a little bit of a trot. And then the next thing you know, it is a full spread. And they jump into each other's arms. And I can hear Jacob say, oh, my brother, I love thee. And I can hear Esau say, oh, my little brother, how long I have longed to see thee. There is reconciliation through the Spirit of God. We can be reconciled. We don't have to have broken homes and broken marriages and broken churches. There is a work of reconciliation that the Spirit of God does. We don't have to be broken, wounded, destroyed. We can find healing, but it'll take the blessing of the Lord and a people that's willing to wrestle until they know they've been blessed. Stand to your feet this morning. I don't go around trying to study up on a message. I've never been able to do that. It's never worked for me. There has to be that place in my prayer and my searching God that God just passes by. I don't even know what He's saying. And there are times that the Lord passes by and it's, I'll be honest, it's stronger than others. And I don't know if you can tell by the tears of brokenness. But I believe in my heart this is a day that can change somebody's life. This is a day somebody can finally leave that thing behind them that has followed them around all these years and taken their peace. Whatever that thing is, no man has the power to take that from you. But there is a Jesus. There's a Savior that loves you and that says, come unto me. All ye that are weak and heavy laden, if you've been wrestling, come to me and I'll give you rest. Get us a song, if you will, this morning. I know we've got other things. I understand that. But nothing right now is more important than what God is doing in your heart and doing in your life. And if God has spoken to your heart this morning and said, I can give you some relief from that thing you've been carrying around, this morning you can find relief. You can find peace. I'll say this. There have been so many homes that have been destroyed because something happened. And they never got over it. They never found forgiveness and they never found reconciliation. They go through the motions and put the smile on their face and act like everything's all right when in reality they're miserable. I'm going to tell you, God is able this morning. Is there anybody that would wrestle and say, I'm tired of this. I can't find peace from this. God, I've got to have some help. Who would wrestle until they know that the Lord has answered their prayer? What have you got, Steve?